Welcome to our Wednesday night service. How wonderful it is to be together on the first Wednesday following the autumnal equinox. Mm. We're going into the shorter days, which is just to notice that those in Australia and South Africa are going into their longer days. And to welcome our international guests who are here tonight, the trustees, as well as Samuel and Sarah are here. And Ruth French from our community in Australia. And I introduced some of our trustees at our visiting trustees and expanded trustees. So we have Marilyn and Hugh, who are both from British Columbia. And we have Annalisa and Howard, who are from Cape Town. And who am I missing? And then there's Kiahi, myself, David, and Ruth, and Uma. I'm always forgetting Uma. She's right there. So I just want to bring some of the substance of what we have been considering. I brought it this at lunchtime in our meeting, but to be in a container of people interested in a vibrational arc that Oren introduced on Sunday is something that I've been interested in for many, many years, and a way of being in the breath and knowing that whatever is untrue is irrelevant, and we are bringing the truth and the love of reality. So welcome to this service, and I will turn this over to David.
What I'd like to do is introduce some ideas and then open this up for a dialogue related to those ideas. I want to introduce a term. The term is self-help remedy. Self-help remedy. It is a legal term, and I thought I knew what it meant, and then I just looked it up and I was right, so that makes me happy. So a self-help remedy is a remedy that one can take. I think it's usually related to a contract, but it's a remedy you can take under the contract that doesn't require seeking the authority of a court. For instance, if you are a lender and you've loaned money for a car and you have the title and you have the note on the car and the note isn't being paid, the self-help remedy is you can repossess the car and you don't need to go to court, at least in some cases. So anyway, that's the origin of the term. However, I'm not using it in a legal context. What I want to propose to you is that for each of us, there is a self-help remedy for our world and our life that we can exercise, not only without going to court, but without asking permission, approval, empowerment, agreement from anybody else. It's a remedy that we can exercise of our own volition. The most powerful self-help remedies are some version of a spiritual medicine. And all true spiritual medicine originates in love. It's some form of love. So the most obvious example that came up in our trustee sessions this afternoon is that nobody is stopping any of us from loving. Nobody can stop you from loving. When somebody loves as a self-help remedy, without approval, permission, backup, or anything else, but only because they've just decided to be that way, they have a profound impact on the world around them. And we know of people in the current day and through history who did that and left a profound impact on the world. We could probably all think of such people in the more public sphere. And then we've probably all met people that were just like that. I thought of another example. Some of us have seen the video of Greta Thunberg, the young woman from Sweden, I believe, speaking on global warming. I'm sure there are people that have helped her, but I would say she has exercised the self-help remedy of courage. You don't get the feeling that she's doing what she's doing because somebody egged her on, somebody encouraged her, that she got permission from somebody, she got approval. She just decided this was hers to do. This is her self-help remedy. And the power of that is resonating around the world. I thought of a patriot, Nathan Hale. He exercised the self-help remedy of courage. And when he was facing hanging, he said, "My only regret is that I have but one life to give for my country." That was a self-help remedy of courage that he was exercising. There are many forms of spiritual medicine. I've named two: love and courage. Another is simply truthfulness. I want to say that there are activities in which we can engage and bring our self-help remedy. The activity, in some way, requires another person, and one that came up upstairs and is the same one that we spoke about as trustees earlier, yesterday actually, is conversation. In one respect, conversation is not a self-help remedy because it takes two people, right? You can't have a conversation all by yourself, or you can have some kind of conversation, I suppose, but in the meaning that I have, you can't have it all by yourself. So in that sense, it is dependent on somebody else, but there's a part of it that isn't. So your ability to listen to another person is a self-help remedy. You don't have to ask permission to listen. You don't have to get approval. You can just truly listen. And when you decide to do that, you have choices about how deeply you want to listen and at what level of your being you want to hear them. And you have the ability to invite a conversation, to welcome it, to make a place for it. What somebody else does is going to be their choice. But there's a self-help remedy of initiation and listening. And so it is with many things. And what I want to propose to you is that what everybody else is doing and their cooperation, encouragement, approval, and all the rest sometimes distracts us from the self-help remedy. We don't see what we could do irrespective of anybody else. We get all focused on what others are doing, and then it can go to, well, we can't do what we would like to do because people aren't cooperating, they aren't participating, they're not paying attention, they're not liking it, all those kind of things. And so the self-help remedy is not availed of in the person's experience. So what I want to open up is a consideration of the very idea of a self-help remedy and then the spiritual medicine that we have that's burning within us to bring. And then some kind of contemplation of what does it mean to shift consciousness, shift our awareness from thinking about all the other people involved and all that, to simply empowering ourselves to give our spiritual medicine, whatever that might be. So I do think that the more personal this is, the better. In other words, I've spoken a little abstractly here, but I think the more we share of our own experience and our own spiritual medicine and then what it means for us to avail ourselves of a self-help remedy, I think the more meaningful this might be. That's my thought on it. I guess I want to also say that I don't want to leave out the part where if you have two people who are availing themselves of their self-help remedy, you have something very powerful to share with that other person. And there's a person worth knowing and worth creating with. And then you have an opportunity for co-creation that is profound. And if you have a group of people who are in that kind of empowered state, now you have a group of people that, wow, they're rocking. And then they have choices about what to do together that are different. So I'm not ignoring all that, but I want to get back to the root thing, which is I do believe it has to begin with the empowered individual. So any questions about the thesis I'm proposing here? Okay, so what I'd like to do is just pass this over to whoever is going to be first and leave that, empower that person to pass it on to whoever is next. I do want to ask that we're all aware of each other's time. And others, there could be a number of people want to speak, so let's just gauge our time accordingly. So anyway, the person who has it is empowered to give it on to whoever they're choosing to give it to next. And no short stopping on the way over. Okay, I think we found that's a good rule to have. So let's begin.
So I named one this afternoon that I have since edited. So I'll tell you what the self-help remedy for me is. And that is that no matter how I feel when someone is speaking to me, like if it hits a button or something, to live in the reality that the person is not intentionally trying to hurt me. So I have the power to say, well, I know where it's hitting me, but I won't put on the person that was intentionally meant to hurt me, that the might have been communicated badly, whatever, but I won't buy into that reality. The first way in which I said it is I will hold the person's intention in the highest place. But I feel it's even more powerful to just say I will believe that the person is not intentionally trying to be hurtful, because I have a better grasp on that than how the other person's feeling.
So what might be helpful is for each of us to name the spiritual medicine that we're speaking of. Could I ask what that spiritual medicine would be? How would you name that spiritual medicine?
Generosity.
I just wanted to say how inspirational this topic is. And for me, I think the reason that it really sort of lights me up is that it's not strategic. It's not aiming at something. So for us to bring our personal medicine, it's not like, oh, let's figure out what we can do to hit our goal and to make something that we're shooting for. And it's just being in the moment, truly in the moment, and speaking from your heart or acting from your heart and connecting to another person just because of whatever the medicine is, love or courage or whatever. And I don't know what the name of that is, but it's really relaxing in an opening way for me that, wow, we're not actually trying to figure this out and strategize. We're just doing it in the moment. And I love that.
Thanks. The self-help remedy that I bring myself right now is appreciation. Robbie and I are celebrating 1 year of dating this weekend. And I never in a million years thought that we would be together. And so that's brought interesting things. You know, every couple has interesting things. The remedy that he brings to me, if I may speak for him for just a second, is just this constancy. He's just steady, positive, every day, loving, considerate, kind, friendly, every day. And what I bring is all these things. And if he gets on my nerves, what do I have to bring to this situation in order for me and us to be in a good space? I have to bring appreciation for all he's brought to me in this past year, just this constant, everyday love and kindness and consideration. And when I focus on that, instead of what's wrong in the community, what's wrong in the relationship, what's wrong in the blah, 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 I can't play anything, I can't sing anything, blah, 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 you know, all the stuff that's going in my head, I just have to appreciate. So my self-help remedy is appreciation for all I have here and all I have in this very special, loving relationship I have with Robbie.
So I'll say my remedy first, and that's knowing that my value is in bringing peace and the willingness to find what is new and creative in every situation, and wanting to see others fulfilled and successful, and I automatically feel that way in myself. Meanwhile, I've been trained to be an alpha male, even though I don't really come across that way, I think, but there's a lot of background that alpha males are positive, and they, when they're at their best, they look like they're shining, but when you don't see them at their worst, they're trying to control everything else around them, and if challenged, they are very stubborn and unwilling to be flexible. And so I have some of that in my consciousness. I have programming that could say, well, you know, I'm not going to let that happen or whatever. But there's the ability to become more and more flexible to see what is unreal in me and unreal in others pass away because I bring the presence of peace and the willingness to discover in any situation how we can begin to play and be creative no matter what. I think I said it earlier, was to be aware that what it's like to stay in a space where I am creative, I am generous, I am capable of being open and don't have to be defensive. I know what that state is like, so I can check myself as to whether I'm tending to go off. It makes sense to me. Well, let's talk later, Gene. You already said generosity, and that's a good one. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. When you first said self-help, I come from the 90s when we had Nightingale Conant. I don't know if you ever, if many of you know that, but it was a self-help series. Wayne Dyer, Carolyn Miss, all these famous people had all their cassettes, that's how far back it was, that you could order to search and find and learn. And for me, a self-help remedy, and you've heard me say this before, I know there's an answer. There's got to be an answer. Is being open-minded enough and the courage to seek that out, to learn, to grow, to not get stuck, but be able to move forward and to look at new things and new ideas. All my studies of awareness, breath awareness, vocal awareness, body awareness, spiritual awareness came from seeking and learning and growing in that way. So when conflict comes up and problems come up with me or other people or groups or whatever, it's in me to seek, to find out, to be open-minded enough to know that there's going to be an answer. And I don't know, one word, knowledge, growth, open-mindedness, seeking, okay.
So my self-help remedy that comes to mind, kind of goes along with JJ's, is trusting the perfection. Realizing that God is perfect and everything God does has a reason, has a meaning, and trying to seek and find that perfection in everything, even if something seems like a negative situation or a situation you don't want to be in, look for what it's trying to teach you or what you can grow from it, and realizing that God placed you there for a reason.
The words I would choose are relax, like relaxation, and recentering. So for me, I find this like form of self-help by having like a space and either like filling it with sound, like vibration. I'll just kind of play ambient music and just sit and breathe. And sometimes that involves a bath. Sometimes it involves tea. Sometimes it involves dance if my body's holding all this energy. But if I can just like let go of everything, like let go of what I think about it, let go of, you know, all these things, how I feel, what, you know, what I want to see happen, any expectations, if I just let it go and recenter and just be still and find that still point, it'll like, that enlightened thinking will come through and it will like become clear.
I really appreciate this topic. It's something that I do feel is extremely healing to be listened to by another person. I would name the medicine understanding. And what I think that if a person behaves in a certain way, whether it's myself or I'm noticing it in another person, It's because, and it's maybe it's not positive, it's because it's usually coming from a place of hurt. Or it's triggering something that is within them that's really painful and bringing it up. And they're acting out of that. So for me to kind of get myself out of the way of defensiveness and be more of an observer and kind of like, you know, ask, what is it, you know, that this person, what does this need? Why are they hurting? What's going on? And to try to love, to try to be open, to try to be loving and accepting. And again, you know, not fixing. Like, I actually feel like this is really easy and we can all do this. I don't think it's rocket science at all. But just basically be loving and also let the person express and not take things personally. and then the truth comes out. And then even if you don't say anything back at all, or just I love you or give them a hug or something like that, you know, or it's okay. Like, you know, sometimes, you know, we're spiritual beings, but we're having human experiences, and sometimes it's hard, you know? So just to not fix, just to be in that and just accept. And then if they want advice, give some advice, you know, or leave it be. And then, you know, just tell them you believe in them or something, or you know it's going to work out. Assurance, chapter 4, Yaronda, I've been thinking about that all couple of days. I didn't mean to bring that in, but and then can I share another story that's just really quick, but it has to do with this? So I have been in the garden, and I had a really amazing day yesterday. I was in gratitude, kind of just meditating in a quiet place, basically for part of the day, and Dustin came over, and we talked. And he just listened, and it was really, really healing for me. And then all of a sudden, I'm not going to mention this person, but somebody else came in and started helping. And I was just, you know, picking raspberries with this individual. And she started just telling me all of these things. And she's like, you know, I just feel like I can tell you things because I feel like you're listening to me. And then she goes, I really don't like my therapist because she's like a block. And I don't think she understands me or she doesn't want to. She goes, but I feel like I can tell you anything. And I wish you were my therapist. And to me, that was the most amazing thing that I could hear that day.
That's brilliant. So for me, my most go-to medicine is to see God in all. It's... I was raised, if you will, by Jesuits, and this is what San Ignacio told the Jesuits long, long time ago. So for me, from a very small age, I was training, seeing God, you know. And it's very similar to what's spoken over there about trusting God. Not only seeing on the people, but on the flowers, on the circumstances, and surrendering to that perfection that was Shane talking about that is going to be unfold. So see God in all. That's the medicine. What's next? You?
I won.
This is a very rich conversation. The spiritual medicine that I'd like to invoke and that when I'm lucky and I'm awake and it does happen to me, is actually feeling the feelings of being hurt. So actually feel it when the trigger is being pushed, when the knife is being turned, whatever is in your mind you think somebody's doing to you, or even it's just in a passing, you just walk into a room and feel grief, but feel it. And if I, in the moment when I allow that for myself and I feel it, that keeps me from projecting it at anybody. And generally, it comes and it does something and then it passes on. When I don't do that and I let it come in and turn my gut and I blame the people out there, it goes on and on and on. So Feelings.
Thank you, Adam. I'd like to name mine apologizing. And it's such an amazing gift to me to be to go through life and screw up all the time, you know, and constantly say, why did I say that or why did I do that? And then realize, oh, I can now have this beautiful encounter with this person and just tell them, I'm so sorry, I'm such a moron. I don't know why I said that. Here's what I, you know. And I always feel closer to them, and it just feels like a very direct action. I told Melissa she could go if I got the mic. I don't want to be in trouble.
Yeah. I sort of revised mine, and I was having more clarification of it. I think it's non-judgment, which opens the door to compassion, is how I would say it. For instance, certain family members of mine, you know, deliver me a soliloquy about myself, and my first, you know, reaction is judgment, I think. You know, why are you saying you're just, you know, being insulting and condescending? It's a judgment. And then if I can exercise the non-judgment, then it opens up the compassion. Like for my mother, for instance, I see she just has a tremendous amount of anxiety. You know, she has her childhood trauma, and that's where it's all coming from. So by not judging her, then I can be compassionate. And I find that I'll just, even here, I mean, I won't name any names, but, you know, I've caught myself making judgments of people, and when I can just sort of ease back from that, it does open up an empathy for them and a compassion, and that's spiritual medicine.
When the question came up, it hit me that my go-to self-remedy has always been to remind myself to stay in kindness. And years ago, when I read that the Dalai Lama said, "My religion is kindness," I knew that that was my religion. And so I was thinking about it as we were going around, that that's where I find my peace. When I remember to go to that inner kindness, that's also where the inner peace is. But it was also dawning on me that being on the ranch, that one of my first jobs was being a care desk angel, actual title. And it has to do with the kindness of connections and putting people together. And then this past couple of weeks has been the kindness of connections to bring together trustees and servers who needed to reach here, and the drivers, the beautiful people who stepped forward to bring them here. And so I think overall there might be other go-to remedies for me, but I think my top-notch one has to do with staying in kindness.
So the word that came to me was encouragement. And throughout my life, I've had a lot of people who always come to me with questions, with issues, with things. And recently I've been asking them after a conversation, like, why did you come to me? Like, why did you come to me to talk about this? And so many people actually responded by being like, well, you're really encouraging. And so today I had just a really powerful conversation with somebody, and it's one of my best friends. And at the end of it, she was like, welcome back. Because, you know, it's been a struggle lately, and I'm coming back. And that encouragement piece is so natural to me. And I've been reflecting on, you know, as a teacher, like a huge key piece of why I'm a great teacher is because I encourage and truly believe in my students, in my friends, in the people around me. Like when there's issues, usually, we're going to forget about the last month. Usually when people come to me, my response is encouragement. It's like, what can we do from this? Where can we go from this? You've got this. Like, and even with myself, every single day I have that conversation with myself, especially right now with everything going on. It's like, girl, you got this. Like, you can do this. Like, don't stress. Let's just keep going. So, encouragement.
Thank you, Courtney. So I'm going to share the self-help remedy of my greatest heroine.
which is my granddaughter Eden. I've learned more from her than she's ever learned from me. For those of you who don't know Eden, she's severely physically and mentally handicapped. And she is a heat-seeking missile for where love is needed and knows how to bring it. I want to share an experience of her one Thanksgiving. It was right before Thanksgiving. We were at the grocery store and, you know, the last-minute shoppers. But some of them, if you really feel into it, are very lonely, you know, feel kind of displaced at Thanksgiving. And Eden's in a wheelchair. Picture this. She's about 6-7 years old. Eden has no ability to get herself 2 feet from where she is, let alone all the way down an aisle. She can't propel herself in her wheelchair. So as I'm shopping and picking out things, I hear this little voice go, "Hey, you, what was your name again?" And I go, "Who's she talking to?" And there's somebody at the other end of the aisle. And they're like, "What, me?" And she points at him and she gives him the finger. You know how she does. And they come over, and in her very own unique, brilliant way, showers love on this person. And throughout our time in the grocery store, this was happening again and again and again. And you could tell each person that she reached out to needed exactly the spiritual medicine of the unconditional love that she brought them. And the other thing about that is the spiritual medicine of believing in herself. You know, she cannot do most of the things that any of us can do. And yet she knows she's a powerful goddess of love and light. And reminds me and many people in her life all the time that she believes in them and they should believe in them.
Oh, this is good. So as you all have been talking, I've been kind of reflecting and trying to find the word. What is the word? And the one that I have decided on is faith. I think that my spiritual or self-help remedy is that I have absolute faith. I have absolute faith that everything's going to be okay. I have absolute faith that even if someone I love is having a hard day or says something unkind or is angry with me, I have absolute faith that that is not the truth of who they are and that they will come back. And so I forgive them every time. And I had an interesting conversation with somebody earlier today, and hearing their reflection back to me of what happened, just it changed my perception of who I am as a person in a really beautiful way. What had happened is this person and I had been sort of ruffling each other's feathers a little bit. And there's one day where I just had enough and I was so mad at this person. I'm like, they just don't get it. I don't understand what they're doing. Why are they saying these things? Why are they feeling this way? And so my very just devious plot of revenge was to give this person a gift with a card telling them how much I love them and how glad I am that they're here and how much better they make the experience. And I didn't sign it. And I put it with a gift at their door. And I didn't tell this person until literally today that it was me that left those things on there because I didn't want the gift to be about me. I wanted this person to know how much I love them, not to know who loved them, but to know that somebody loved them. And I think when you have the kind of faith in a person that says they will receive this exactly how they're supposed to, it will change them for the better, and you don't have to take credit for it because seeing them shine is going to be credit enough. You could watch it from miles away and never say anything, and it's worth it. And I always have faith in that. I always have faith that love always wins. Always.
It was a long time ago when I was a teenager, and I don't even remember who the person was, but they said something to me that has been burning in my heart ever since that time. And they said, "Never forget who you are. Always be who you are just naturally, and be strong." And that really just burned into my heart. It's funny, you know, when something like that is so important, oftentimes you remember the person, but what they said was what really stood out. And so I would just say in this brief moment, just that there's a passion that we each carry, and this one just struck home. And I've always remembered that in my interactions here at Sunrise.
Thank you, Diana. It's so interesting how I never know that I'm going to actually say something until my arm goes up and I didn't really do it, you know. But, so beautiful. Thank you, everyone, for your intimate shares. And mine is about intimacy. And my personal experience of how I landed here, knowing that I had to be here, but also leaving a 12-year partnership with a beloved, a soul connection, really. And the fact that it started happening before we even admitted to each other that it was time to go our separate ways because we had different paths, spiritual paths. And I think what struck me most is I just knew we would always be best friends. And even though he had already picked up and connected with another woman, I never lost that sense that we were incredibly connected on a soul level. And he's always been this amazing, kind person that's wanting to learn. And but this other woman was, of course, in the background, probably in a mode of insecurity because he talked about me a lot. And so over the time that I've been here, which is almost a year now, there was less and less communication. But yet he was always there, you know, the kind conversation when we did talk. And the last time we talked, Gene, his new partner, came in on the call because it was a video call. And, you know, I've always included her because I've told him many times in my dream, Gene will be my friend. And he just said, well, maybe. So this unconditional loving presence that this learning through those kind of relationships of so many things that everybody said here, but mostly about love not being exclusive, even when it means a partner that is saying goodbye, but you're still connected as a friend. This woman came on the call, and I invited her in, you know, and really was present with her and really sincerely, authentically loved her in any way I could with my words, with my energy. And we talked about family. Friends are the family of choice. And she says, wait a minute. And she ran and got this canvas purse that she had because she had to show me that written in there was exactly those words. Look at this. And I could see her melt into the possibility of us being friends. And so it's amazing, like you said, what unconditional loving presence can do even in that scenario. And I am so grateful to understand that so much deeper after being in FSC. Thank you for all the teachings, and yeah, I so get it.
Thank you, Joala. So while we were down in New Mexico for a week, somebody had the nerve to park their big white truck this far away from our shiny new car that we've only made three payments on and opened a car door, a truck door into it. And so this last week, it's been about running around town, body shops, Toyota dealer, blah, 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 Allstate insurance. Then the woman says, well, you haven't sent me any pictures, blah, blah. I think it's a little bit of a JJ story from last week about waiting 2.5 hours for the gas can. And it was really beginning to irritate me. I've got a lot to do in the next week and a half before we head out for the winter. There's things that I want to do on the ranch. I still want to get some more stuff done for the video department, for the media department. And so I just felt my shoulders getting higher and higher and tenser doing all this running about and maybe even a little irritating to my beloved and from time to time. And no, just that one time, just this occasion now, never any other time. But and then my self-help remedy of recent days has been compassion, because all of a sudden I just stopped and went, are you kidding me? You're like in the top 5% of the world, somebody that even has a car and the freedom to be able to go someplace with or without a dent in the side of it. Maybe the top 3%, because we have two cars. And it just instantly threw me into a recognition. I could say it's gratitude, but really for me it's been a feeling of compassion about those in the world that need our help in prayer, in any other way that we can, energetically, any other way that we can support them. And it's really taken me to that self-help remedy of being compassionate for all those who need and my compassion for them. Thank you.
I guess mine would be vulnerability. In a way, like how Jwala, you know, her hand is raised and she doesn't know who raised it. It's kind of the same thing with me with some of the stuff that I share and have shared for probably about the last 8 or 9 years now. It is this overwhelming urge to share. And it's kind of like the witnessing thing like Angelica was talking about. It shines a light when you're open in such a vulnerable way to where people are like, oh my God, I'm not the only one that feels that way. Thank you for saying that. I have felt that way forever. I thought I was the only one. And, you know, I used to get a lot of criticism from it, especially from my family members who didn't understand. They're like, why? Why? And I'm like, I don't know, except that I'm getting all these messages from people who say, thank you for being brave enough to put yourself out there. Thank you for saying the things that I've been thinking, but, you know, had nowhere to go or anyone to talk to about this. So, yeah, mine would be vulnerability.
Forgiveness and awareness. Forgiveness is not about what people do to you. It's about what you carry and what you hold against other people or yourself. In certain circumstances, holding on to things or holding grudges or feeling any kind of animosity comes from, you know, a feeling of being wronged or doing the wrong thing or judgment or all those kinds of things. So that starts with forgiveness. Just let it go. Take the load off the shoulders. You don't have to let anybody off the hook if, you know, there's some serious abuse going on or if there's something in the past that was very traumatic. That will take care of itself. You don't have to punish yourself or carry the load for somebody else that for what their actions were. So forgiveness is a great way of letting go of a load and being able to live more freely and to be able to express more. And then awareness. Being in a state of knowing that what you do impacts other people and seeing the reactions and reflections of every person that you meet and interact with is a reflection of who you are and what you're doing. If you are aware of people's feelings and emotions and your impact on them, then you can heal yourself and the world around you just by being aware and by paying attention.
So for those of you who don't know me, my name's Nick. I belong to Lana here. She's my better half. When it comes to self-help remedy, something that's always been a go-to for me, I would phrase it as energy transformation. As I deal with negative energy, stress, financial problems, just anything that comes down on me, I try and take those negative energy, that negative emotion, the feel of discomfort, and transform into something that is, for myself, positive, something that is useful. A lot of the times it comes out as something creative or a form of volunteer work of sorts. Summertime, it's a lot of volunteer stewardship and forestry work. Through the winter, I usually dive into my sketchbook, my writing, anything like that to take something that's eating at me and is going to keep me up at night and just kind of turn into something that at the end of it, I can be like, hey, I'm stoked on this. I'm proud of it. This took something that's totally going to destroy me from the inside out and made it something I'm proud of. So for me, I'd have to say energy transformation.
I'm just sitting here and listening to all these explanations of what self-help remedy is. And now I can relate more as I listen to different stories. And mine has to do with singing. I remember when I used to be back home in Cameroon, I had my children growing up. I will be in a situation where I don't know how to handle a situation, and I will start singing. And I will sing and sing and then get into a point where everything will just relax. And it was interesting. Recently, my grown-up son, who is like 28, sent me a song, forwarded me a song. That was the first time he ever did that. And I listened to it, and he said, Mommy, do you remember that song? And I'm like, what song? Say, you used to sing this song a lot each time you were in a situation. And I said, oh, so you remember? And we got into a conversation, and the sister was like, said it was like, yes, Mommy, I remember each time you were, like, things were really difficult with you, you would sing and sing and sing, and then everything, you just relax and start laughing or doing something different. And that really helped me because I used to be fond of crying. If I couldn't express myself, I'll cry. But when I changed that to just singing something, bringing out some words deep from myself, then I find that I'm more relaxed. And even the people around me, like my children, will start feeling like, okay, everything is good, everything is fine. So my medicine is relaxation and singing.
Thank you, Sarah. I would love to hear your song. My medicine is presence, with capital P. The small P is this being that's sitting here on this chair. And the big P is being in the center of the sun cross between the horizontal level of the heart that can think and the mind that can feel and connected with spirit. And in the best situation, connected with the wonderful one within, grounded strongly in the earth. And in that, that is a state that is in service and that has influence. It has a field around itself. And it's non-pervasive. And it's connected, so the right actions come forth from that state. I'm not telling that I'm all the time in that state, but I think I'm a lot of the time in that state. And it's a good place to be. And it's always in the now, connected. And connection with the bigger field means that things have their place in the bigger pattern that wants to emerge and evolve.
The self-help remedy that I bring is patience. When I was growing up, I was a perfectionist, straight-A student, sharpest knife in the drawer, and very passionate, full of fire, and I wanted everything now. I wanted to learn everything now. I wanted to read every book. I wanted to know, as in K-N-O-W. And I was very impatient. And I remember praying, please give me patience. Please give me patience, God. And then I got a chronic illness and two kids. And as Ruth said, I'm not always in a state of being patient, but I definitely feel when I'm not, the times when I'm not in that vibration. And there's something about patience that is expansive and allowing and surrounding to whatever needs to come forth in a given situation. I think it's quite magical.
What I was thinking of was something I hadn't thought about for years, but about when I was in my 20s, which was just last week. I'd been away from home for a year or two, but I still thought my father was, pretty great and maybe a Superman. But there came the day when I took something to him that he didn't know what to do with. And he was pretty cool. He kind of covered it up, and I was cool too. I didn't push him on it. And what it told me was that no matter the disappointment or the change, I loved him anyway. And to me, that was unconditional love. And I was thinking about it today, and I thought, that's amazing, because it led to probably a 40-year friendship. And that's my story, and that's what I got to say, is unconditional love.
Thank you, Hugh. Well, thanks, everyone, for being part of this. Particularly thanks to those of you who spoke and shared. I think I'd like to end by just giving us perhaps a few moments of silence just to take in what we've heard and appreciate it, and just let it go to a deep place in ourselves. Well, I can feel who we are together, a group of people who each individually bring their own self-help medicine, self-help remedy. How beautiful. Thank you.